to turn to the, and also the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. James chapter 4, we'll read verses 6 through verse 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Also, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In both of these passages, we have mention of the proud and the humble. In James 4 and verse 6, we see the proud, we see the humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, we see the proud, the humble. In both passages, there is a warning. In both passages, we're told that God resisteth. That means that God opposes, stands in opposition to, stands in the way of. God resisteth the proud. And in both passages, there's a promise. And giveth grace or favor to the humble. In both passages, there is mention of submission. James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, submit yourselves. And then it says, be subject one to another. You also notice in both passages there is a call to humility. James 4, verse 10, we read the words, humble yourselves. We read the same thing. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, we read, be clothed with humility. Now notice this call to humble ourselves is in relation to God. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it is humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. So in both passages there is a call that goes forth, a call to humble ourselves, and this call is in relation to God. In both passages we are also reminded that God's way up is down. James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves, and he shall lift you up. That is, God shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, that he may exalt you in due time. Again, God's way up is down, always. Solomon states this truth in Proverbs 15:33 and also Proverbs 18, verse 12. He says in both of those passages, before honor is humility. In other words, the way to honor is humility. Christ states that truth in Matthew 18 and verse 4. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, Jesus said, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want to speak this evening on the subject of humility. By no means can we do an exhaustive study on such a subject in one message, and that's not our intent. We simply want to observe a few things upon the subject of humility, with the desire that we would give serious, personal thought and examination to the subject of humility. It is our prayer that we would pursue humility, or that we would pursue the things that result in humility, because humility, like happiness, is a result of a lot of things. I want to consider three main points. What is humility? And again, by no means exhausting the subject, just giving some things to think about. What is humility? Secondly, we want to see the importance and the blessings of humility. And then thirdly, the road to humility. But first of all, what is humility? Well, we'll begin by saying that, contrary to common belief, humility is a virtue. It is a virtue. It's not a weakness. It's not a fault. It's a virtue. By that, we simply mean that it is morally good. It is a good thing. It is a very useful quality. It is a virtue to the degree that it is Christ-like. Humility is Christ-like. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's humility. Humility is a virtue to such a degree that it is Christ-likeness. Therefore, being a virtue, being Christ-likeness, it's not something to be avoided. It's not something to be shied away from. It's something that ought to be sought, something that ought to be longed for. The word translated humility in the New Testament is the very same word translated lowliness in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. The very same word that is translated lowliness of mind in Philippians 2 and verse 3. Not only outward lowliness, but lowliness of mind. It is also the same word translated in Colossians 3 and verse 12, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. From this, we see that humility is a personal, inward sense of unworthiness before God, a personal inward sense of unworthiness before man. It is the inward feeling, the inward belief that others are better than ourselves. It is a habit. Humility is not just something that you do every now and then. Humility or lowliness is a habit of the heart, a habit of the mind. It is the habit of you and I recognizing and acknowledging our vileness and our unworthiness before God. Humility goes against everything that we are taught from a very, very young age. Humility is contrary to human reason. It is contrary to human desire. Humility is described, notice in Psalm 34, verse 18, and also Psalm 51, verse 17. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Then notice Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God, speaking of sacrifices that we offer unto God, are, this is what's required, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, many have taken those verses and say, you've got sorrow in your life, your heart is breaking, God will be near to you. Well, that's not what those verses are saying. A broken and contrite heart. God will not despise. It is required in the offering of sacrifice unto the Lord. So we must ask ourselves, what does it mean? What does this word broken mean? Well, to break something is to disable it. It's to disable it. It's talking about humility. Our hearts need to be disabled as to our own ways. Our spirits need to be broken. You say, well, I don't like that. You and I will not serve God without a broken heart. Not truly. We will never trust God. We'll never lean upon God until we are disabled to our own ways. As long as you feel you can do it, it's exactly what you'll do. But the very moment you realize that you've been disabled, you need a prop. You need something to lean upon. A broken heart. It also goes on to say a contrite heart. And contrite follows broken. It means a penitent heart. And the truth is, we'll never repent until the heart be broken. So humility is to have a heart that has been disabled as to its own ways. Humility is the same as the poor in spirit in Matthew 5, verse 3. And that poverty of spirit is an insufficiency, a self insufficiency. The contrite are they, in Matthew chapter 4, blessed are they that mourn. You notice poor in spirit follow or precedes the mourning. Just as the broken heart comes before contrite. Humility follow or precedes repentance. Humility also is the same as the meek in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. The meek are those who have an inward sense of insignificance, an inward sense of unworthiness before God. To be meek is to have a spirit of submission, a spirit of absolute dependence. Who's going to depend on God? Those who have been disabled to their own ways. It's absolute dependence upon God. It's an attitude of contentment with God. Humility also is described in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Not I, but Christ. Not I. That's humility. Not I. Not I, but Christ. So humility is described there in Galatians 2, verse 20. But of course, the best way to define humility is in its antithesis, pride. Pride. Humility is everything, or humility is the polar opposite of pride. What is pride? Pride is the mindset of self. It is the mindset of self. It is to be occupied with self. It is to serve for self reasons. And again, I believe if we were to look into every single nook and cranny of our service, we would find pride somewhere. We would find self somewhere. People say, well, I do that because it makes me feel good. That's not the reason to do it. I like to help people because it makes me feel good. That's not the reason to do it. It's not the reason at all. In fact, that's sinful. But we're not going to get into all that tonight. Pride is the feeling and also the manifestation of. But keep in mind, it's the feeling of self-importance. It's the feeling and the manifestation. But the feeling alone is enough. It is the feeling of self-centeredness. Self-admiration, self-exaltation, self-will, self-righteousness, self-gratification. You see, humility is diametrically opposed to all forms, and pride comes in many forms, is diametrically opposed to all forms of pride. Humility is a profound self-abasement, lowliness, abasement, self-abasement before God. It is the low estimation of ourselves, not only before God, but in relation to others. The Bible teaches that humility is not a facade that we put on to impress others. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure, purposely they do this, their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Humility is not a facade that we put on to impress one another. In fact, anything done to impress somebody else is a form of pride. Anything done to impress someone else is a form of pride. Also, humility is not something that we are aware of. In other words, humble people do not know that they're humble. As soon as you know you're humble, you're no longer humble. As soon as you think you're humble, you're no longer. If you ever were, you know you're no longer. It ceased. So, humility is not something we're aware of. Humble people do not talk about being humble. I mean, it's almost laughable when someone says, I'm a pretty humble person. Well, that's almost laughable. Just that statement alone shows how proud you are. Humble people do not know they're humble. Again, it's a virtue. It's Christ-likeness. And therefore, it is not weakness. It is not something to be avoided. It is something to be pursued, something we long for. It brings us to our second point, the importance and blessings of humility. The importance and urgency of humility is seen in the danger again of its antithesis, pride. Think about it. Through the lack of humility, angels became devils. Pride turned angels into devils. And pride will cause individuals to act like devils. No matter what the shape, no matter what guise you put on pride, it is sin. Proverbs 21 and verse 4, a high look, that's outward, a proud heart, that's inward, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. In fact, pride is the mother of sin. And within the sin of pride are innumerable sins. We could preach another message on all the sins that are involved in the sin of pride. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, we're not going to turn there to save time. But pride heads the list of deadly sins. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, it is various forms of pride that heads the list of perilous times. And it's the various forms of pride that are a contributing cause to the perilous times. So pride, whether inward or outward, is an act of opposition against God. It is an act of rebellion. It is an act of enmity. Pride in all of its forms is a transgression against God. The Bible says that pride is an abomination to God. Proverbs 16 and verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. That's not even talking about the outward forms of pride or the outward displays of pride. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. It's an abomination. They become an abomination to God. Pride, perhaps, and I believe you could almost prove it from Scripture, is the most heinous of all sins. Nothing worse. Because of what pride feeds. Because of what pride does. Pride brings the judgment of God. Proverbs 15, verse 25, it says, "The Lord will destroy," that means demolish, spoil, ruin, wreck, and devastate the house of the proud. God will judge pride. Pride is blinding. Pride is deceiving. Notice in the book of Obadiah, verse 3, just want to read first few words. "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." No one's more deceived than a proud person. "Pride of thy heart hath deceived thee." Pride hardens the heart. Daniel chapter 5, again, we're showing the importance of humility. We see it in the awfulness of pride. Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. "But when his heart was lifted up," that's inward, "and his mind hardened in pride." His heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride, and he was disposed from his kingly throne. Talking about Belshazzar. Pride is a hindrance to seeking God. Why is it today? I mean, are the times in which we live, you would think that that would be motivation for man to earnestly seek God. You would think all the dysfunction that is all around us, that would be motivation for people daily to be on their knees crying out to God. But pride won't let you do it. Pride won't let you seek God. Notice in Psalm 10, in verse 4. Psalm 10 in verse 4. "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance." You say, well, we're the saved. We don't identify with the wicked. Pride is wickedness. "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." Why? Because God is not in his thoughts. Self is in his thoughts. So pride deceives. Pride hardens the heart. Pride will disable you from seeking the Lord. Pride brings shame. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Pride produces and feeds contentions. Proverbs 13 and 10, "Only by pride cometh contention." You see, pride will always have wrong motives. Always. Our one motive should be God. Everything else falls under the category of pride. Pride always has wrong motives, causing one to do things for self-serving reasons. Pride will be focused upon one's feelings. We hear so much today about feelings. People are caught up with their feelings. Why is that? They're proud. Pride will cause you to be consumed with your feelings. And it will consume you with what others think. Pride wants to make an impression. Well, what will people think? Your concern ought to be what will honor and glorify God. Anything done for appearance sake is pride. And this is hard for people to take because they've been taught just the opposite their whole life. By example and by precept, they have been taught that. We have been raised to be proud. We were born proud. Nothing more centered than an infant. Cry in the middle of the night, doesn't care if you're sleeping. They could care less. They don't care if it's inconvenient for you. What's worse is that little baby becomes an adult. And they still have the same attitude. Pride. Pride desires recognition. It desires it. Every single one of us have within us a desire to be recognized. Every one of us. There isn't anyone here that does not have within us a desire to be recognized. Desire for praise. Desire for notoriety. We all have this. A desire for esteem. Pride will have attention-getting tactics. If someone feels that they're not getting the attention that they want or deserve, they'll do something to get attention. That's pride. Pride has attention-getting tactics. It may be pouting. It may be saying how worthless they are and going on and on about how low they are, and it just for someone to say, oh, you're not that bad. Agree with them. Instead of saying, you're not that bad, say, you're worse than you think. You're worse than you think. You think you're rotten, you're worse than that. Because you and I don't know how rotten we are. I'll tell you what, they'll quit coming to you and talking to you about. Pride will show little patience with the faults of others. Pride cannot endure faults in other people. Pride is ungrateful. Why is it that we perhaps do not thank God every day for salvation? Because we're proud. We're ungrateful. You say, well, I don't think of it. Why don't you think of it? Because you're proud. Because you think of yourself over other things. Pride is ungrateful. All of this stresses the importance and the urgency of humility. The importance and urgency of humility is also seen from the fact that it is absolutely essential. Humility is to repentance. You can't repent without being humbled. Oh, I know, it's been practiced for decades now. Just say you're sorry, but nothing changes. That's not repentance. Without humility, you cannot walk with God. God requires that we walk humbly with Him. That's the only way you can walk with God. Humility is required if we're going to follow God, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to worship God. And it is absolutely essential to obeying God. It is absolutely essential to pleasing God. Again, Psalm 51, verse 17. A broken heart, God will not despise. He will not think lightly of that. Why? He's pleased with it. He's pleased with humility. It is absolutely essential to truly glorifying God. The Bible says we're to glorify God in all things. Whether we eat or drink, whatever it is, we're to glorify God. That takes humility. It is absolutely essential to a true spirit of appreciation. Why aren't we more thankful? Because we don't have a spirit of appreciation. Why don't we have a spirit of appreciation? Pride. Humility is required for a spirit of appreciation. You can say thank you without having a spirit of appreciation. It is absolutely essential to enjoying God. You can't enjoy God and be proud. It's not possible. Why is it that so many just cannot enjoy God? Pride. Pride. You cannot enjoy real spiritual prosperity without humility. The importance and urgency of it is seen from the fact that in humility there is the enjoyment of the nearness and presence of God. We read Psalm 34, verse 18, and we see there that God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Notice in Isaiah chapter 57. Man, that clock's moving fast. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with whom also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I also dwell with them. Isaiah 66, 2. We'll not read that, but God looks upon the humble. In humility, there is an inner and perpetual condition of joy and happiness and pleasure and satisfaction and delight. This is seen from the fact that Christ said what? Blessed be the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. That is, these individuals have an inward happiness. Their happiness is not dependent upon circumstances. Why is it that happiness is dependent upon circumstances? Because you've got to feel good in order to be happy. That's pride. That's pride. Humility is absolutely required. In humility, there is the ability for kingdom of God living and the enjoyment of kingdom God living. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In humility there is comfort. That is, there is reassurance from God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We see also there are riches in humility. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In humility there is rest. Rest in the service of the Lord. Matthew 11, 29 again, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That speaks of an inner condition of calm, an inner condition of peace and contentment while serving the Lord. He went on to say in Matthew 11 and verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light when you learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Again, humility is a virtue. Thirdly, the road to humility. First of all, you'll never have humility without overcoming pride. And that's a daily, moment by moment struggle. Pride is deeply embedded in our hearts. Deeply embedded in the nature of man. And we must strive against it. at all times. Pride in all its forms, we must strive against it. We must strive to put it under in all its forms. We read in Proverbs 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Arrogancy is the feeling or impression of superiority. We have to overcome that. You say, well, I don't feel better than others. Every single one of us feels better than some people. Every one of us. We read of haughtiness in 2 Samuel 22 and 28. Which is a feeling of preeminence. We read of boastings in James 4, verse 16. It simply means to glory in oneself, to vaunt oneself. We read of vainglory in Philippians 2 and verse 3. That's simply doing something for the glory of self, doing something because it makes you feel good. So the feelings, not just the act, but the feelings of self-importance, self-righteousness must be overcome. You see, the truth is, you and I can hardly speak of someone's unrighteousness without feeling some self-righteousness on our own. It's sad, but it's true. Pride is so embedded in our nature. The desire for self-exaltation must strive against it. The desire to be admired, we must strive against it. Pride takes all manner of shapes. It can be the pride of birth. You're proud of the family you were born into. You didn't have a thing to do with it. What are you proud of? You didn't have anything to do with it. There's the pride of rank. There's the pride of wealth. People are respected, and if you're not careful, you get proud in that. Proud of respectability. Pride of learning. Or knowledge, the pride of success. It's sad, but the truth is, God can hardly let you and I succeed in anything without us feeling a degree of pride. Pride of self-reliance. I'm my own man. Well, that's sad. Not only sad, but pretty dangerous. Pride of ability. Pride must be put down. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we're to cast down every high imagination that exalteth itself against God. So the call, humble yourselves, really is a call to self-denial. Because you can't humble yourself unless you deny yourself. And we're called upon every day to do that, to deny ourselves. It is a call to put self under. Whenever pride pops up its ugly head, and it will every single day, several times a day. Whenever it pops up its ugly head, we must put it under. We must strive to put it under. We must recognize it for what it is. Anytime I preach on this subject, people get mad. I don't mean angry, I mean they get mad. You know why? Because they're proud. The road to humility includes a realization of who God is. We saw at the beginning of the message, the call to humble ourselves is in relation to God. Job heard and saw God and was immediately humbled. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, saw the holiness and sovereignty of God and was immediately humbled. One will never truly be humbled outside of who God is. There has to be a realization, and this realization has to be constant. A realization of who He is. If you and I just get a glimpse of His holiness, how in the world can we be self-righteous? If you just get a glimpse, how in the world can we have a drop of pride? The road to humility includes a realization not only of who God is, but who and what we are before God. Job declared in Job 40 and verse 4, after he saw God, he said, "Behold, I am vile." Now God said of Job in Job chapter 1 that he was a righteous man. But when Job saw himself in the sight of God, he said, "Behold, I am vile." Job 43, verse 6, he said, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You know, this teaching that we must love ourselves is very destructive to spirituality. Job said, "I abhor myself." Now I realize we're to love ourselves to the degree that we don't purposely harm ourselves and do stuff like that. It's another message. We need to realize who and what we are before God. Isaiah, when he saw God, said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Notice Isaiah recognized his own uncleanness before he recognized that he dwelt among a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. The root to humility is not comparing ourselves with others. The very fact that we would draw a comparison to other people is pride. You'll never become humble comparing yourselves to others. The root to humility is not comparing ourselves to man's standards of righteousness. Because we can make ourselves feel pretty good. I mean, if you have any standards at all today, you look around and you feel pretty good. But you compare yourself to God's standards, and you know what the result is? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short. No matter how far we've come in service to God, no matter how far we've come in Christ's likeness, we all come short of the glory of God. So the road to humility includes a realization of who God is, a realization of who and what we are before God. It also includes a realization of what salvation is and why we are saved. If you believe any truth at all concerning salvation, how can we be proud? How can we be proud? It's of God's mercies that we're not consumed. That's true of every single one of us sitting here right now. It's of God's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of God's love that we have been drawn to Him. It is because of His everlasting arms being under us that we are kept. It is because of His sustaining grace that we have not fallen. It's all of Him. It is by faith that He grants to us that we're saved. It is by His blood that we are cleansed. It is by His righteousness that we are clothed. It is by His power that we are kept. It is by His grace that we are sustained. It is by His intercession that we are delivered. All that we have is from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. What do we have to be proud of? Nothing. Nothing. You say, I'm proud of my heritage. You didn't have anything to do with it. It's God that caused you to be born into whatever family you were born into. God. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. The road to humility is sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm telling you right now, pride cannot exist sitting at Jesus' feet. As soon as pride comes up, you cease to sit at His feet. The root to humility is to sit at the feet. The root to humility is to live at the feet of Christ. The road to humility includes a realization of the blessings of God and where they come from. The realization that every single one of our accomplishments come from God. He's to get the glory. The fact that you can move your fingers, move your hands, perform all kinds of things, that's all of God. You don't believe that? God can put an end to it just like that. One stroke. It's all of God. A realization that all our abilities come from God. Anytime we make fun, or someone makes fun of someone for their lack of intelligence or whatever, that's pride. That's wicked. It really is. Because you wouldn't have an ounce of intelligence if it wasn't for God. Gifts. And by that, I'm referring to spiritual gifts, our abilities. If one has the gift to preach, if one has the gift to teach or to play an instrument or to lead singing and on we can go. It all comes from God. It all comes from Him. You and I, we ought to work hard in those things. But don't you ever think that that's the reason. Because it's not. Because in spite of all your work to improve yourself, God can put an end to it very quickly. It all comes from God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians concerning gifts in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, said, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" That's a good question. We need to ask ourselves that all the time. Who maketh thee to differ from another? The Bible says in the book of Exodus that God put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. And so it is today. What is thou that thou didst not receive? Is there anything you have that God isn't the bestower of? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And any time we glory in what we have, we're acting like we did it. We had nothing to do with it. It's all of God. The road to humility includes a realization of our part in the kingdom. What is our part in the kingdom? Talking about the kingdom of God on earth. We are servants. That's our part. What happens when we die? God will raise up another one. We're not that important. We're servants. We're servants. You know, through the years, through 30, 8 years or whatever, I've had many people come and say, I'm going to leave the church and you'll see. Yeah, we'll see. You know what we'll see? God will replace you. You're not that valuable. None of us are. That's pride. I'll leave and teach them. No, you won't. All the foolishness of pride. Hearts are deceived. Hearts are hardened through pride. We are servants of God, and we are not indispensable. The work goes on. People would say things of several individuals, oh, what's that church going to do when Brother Eugene Clark passes away, when Brother Harvey passes away? They'll continue on. They'll continue on. Because we're not indispensable. The road to humility includes a realization to whom belongs the glory. Notice John chapter 3. We'll close. John chapter 3. The disciples of John the Baptist are disturbed. They are disturbed because Christ is getting more attention than John. Verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. They were disturbed by that, and they thought John should be too. John, we're disturbed by this, and we think you ought to be too. That's the way people are. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He recognized his position. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, referring to Christ. But the friend of the bridegroom, referring to himself, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And I got a news flash for you. He says, my joy is fulfilled in this. His success makes me happy. Most people are not going to be happy with any success that you have. They're not. Oh, some will be, but most won't. Why is that? Pride. It's pride. They think they ought to have it. We have a whole society of people like that. Another message. Verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's humility. Our lives should be one of decreasing. The nearer we approach heaven, the lower we ought to grow in our estimation of self. The longer we have been saved, the lower we ought to grow in our estimation of self. Again, God's way up is down. Jesus taught that in John chapter 13 when he washed the feet of the apostles. Oh, for pride. It's a problem we all have. There isn't anyone here that does not have a problem with pride. There isn't any one of us here tonight that does not have pride. We all have it. But all for pride. to be swept away, and for humility to fill us. When that happens, we'll be able to bow continually before Him. Why is it that as children of God we can get right with God, and it won't take long, and we'll be out of fellowship with Him again? Why is that? I think pride has a lot to do with it. Self. God help us, that God would humble our hearts. And again, we ought to pray that God would disable us to our own ways. We ought to pray that God would humble us. You say, I'm not so foolish, I wouldn't pray that. You're too proud to pray that. Pride is the only thing that will keep you from praying that. We need to pray that God would humble us. Why is it that there are many reasons, but one of the chief reasons that we do not experience revival today is pride. People are proud. Well, I would have come forward, but I didn't want to be the only one. That's pride. I was afraid what someone might think. That's pride. We need to pray that God would humble us. So much so that we're willing to bow. In heaven there is no pride. Everyone bows at the feet of the Lord and they cast all their crowns. You know, there in Revelation 4, when they cast all their crowns before the throne, I don't believe there'll be one individual who's hanging on to that crown. I earned this. I earned this and I'm keeping it. No, because there won't be any pride. That's why I have a real problem with this rewards-based system carried over into spiritual things. I mean, our song books are filled with songs like that. And it feeds pride. Don't worry about rewards. Your concern ought to be, I want to glorify God. Glorify God. Oh, that God would help us. That God would help every single one of us to overcome pride. We're not going to. We're not going to completely overcome pride. But I pray that we would at least strive against it every day. When we see it pop up, that we would pray, Lord, forgive me for being proud. Forgive me for being proud. God help us to be a humble people. Brother Larry, if you'd come, lead us in verse 1.